This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Yes, I want to make an agreement with you. I'm going to pray for you that the Lord forgive you for all these exaggerations you told about me. But then I want you to pray for me that the Lord forgive me because I enjoyed it so much. Thank you. It's been so wonderful to be with you. And we trust the Lord that you will speak to us this morning in a very special way. The title of my message is... Now, I'm going to talk to you about salvation and what it leads to. And what should our response be to such a great salvation? Now, please bear with me. I'm going to read a long scripture to you. Well known, but I want you to listen carefully. So, from Isaiah 52, it says, "See, my servant will prosper. He will be highly exalted. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man, and he will cleanse or startle many, many nations." Isaiah 53, 1 to 3. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? "My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in the dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care." Verse 5, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we would be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of all. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins." My brothers and sisters, I think this is the most vivid description in Scripture of what Christ suffered for our salvation. Can we just pray? Father, we confess that so often we just read over these scriptures and we just glide over them, not realizing the tremendous price that your Son had to pay for our salvation. Lord, to think that at the stage he cried out, "My Father, why have you forsaken me?" When you had turned your back on him, that must have been like descending into the deepest pit of hell, to be removed from the presence of God. And yet he did it all for us. And I can just only imagine when one day we all have to stand before him What will we do? Will we dance for you, Jesus? Will we fall on our knees? Will we shout hallelujah? We can only imagine. Thank you for this great salvation. We honor you, we praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. We usually read what we believe instead of believing what we read. Let me give you an example. For many, many years, whenever I read about water baptism, I would immediately saw, in my mind's eye, I saw a father and mother standing in front of the pulpit with a baby in their arms and being sprinkled. Yet, I read that they went into the water and came out of the water. They were put under, but I believed the first picture, that was the right one. And if I think of the movie, the Jesus movie, that has been so successful all over the world, yet I believe the Passion of the Christ is the one that really is nearer to the truth of what Christ suffered for us. Now, Jesus' final journey to the cross was our new beginning. And to think that this journey to the cross started right at the beginning of the creation of man. While Adam and Eve were still crunching and munching the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, Jesus was already on his way to Calvary. In fact, the Bible tells us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the earth was laid. But unfortunately, we have made salvation so cheap and so easy. Of course, salvation is a free gift from God, but it is going to cost you your life. And let's just go for a moment to witness what was perhaps the most saddest and most dramatic night in history. And the scene is very simple. There's a grove of olive trees. The ground is cluttered with large rocks. There's a low stone fence. It's a very dark night. And there we see a lonely, solitary figure, flat on the ground, face stained with dirt and tears, and fists pounding the hard earth. Eyes wide with fear, hair matted with sweat, and drops of blood on his forehead. That is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I can remember as a child, we had a photograph hanging in our house of a, some of you may have seen this. It's a portrait of Christ in the garden, kneeling beside a big rock, snow white robe, hands peacefully folded in prayer, and a look of serenity and peace on his face, and a halo around his head, and a light shining out of heaven. That was his idea of what happened on that night. The painter surely didn't use the Gospel of Mark as his guide. Because when Mark wrote about that painful night, he used phrases such as these: horror and dismay came over him. He says, my heart is ready to break with grief. The New English Bible says, he went a little forward, threw himself on the ground. Mark 14, verse 34 says, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Mark describes the scene as it really was. We see an agonizing, straining and struggling Jesus. We see a man of sorrow. We see a man struggling with fear, wrestling with a commitment and yearning for relief because he cries out, "My Father, if you will just let this cup pass me, yet not my will, but your will be done." We see him with a broken heart. But we make it so easy for people with the sinner's prayer for people to enter the kingdom of God. Yet Jesus seemed to have gone out of his way to discourage people from following him. People who want to follow him just for the benefit that will befall them. Matthew 8 verse 19. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." Matthew 7 verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell, or the road that leads to destruction, is broad and his gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road difficult, and only a few find it. Yet in our approach to unbelievers, we encourage them to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior by saying, "Come to Jesus while every eye is closed and every head is bowed." Now nobody looks around now. "And just slip quietly into the kingdom of God." Or we say, "Accept Jesus and all your problems will be solved." Now, who wants to refuse such an invitation?